We're going to be working through a section of the book of Leviticus, which I'm sure all of you folks love to spend as much time as you can in this blessed book, Leviticus. Well, we're going to go to Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. Jason read one verse out of the section we're going to cover. This morning I'll be working out of the English Standard Version. If you have that, that's fine. The NIV is very, very close, and I don't think you'll get lost. But Leviticus chapter 26, I'm going to start off reading through verses 1 through 12. And then we'll kind of get started into the format of what we're going to be looking at. And I'll let you know, and you may pick it up, where the title of this message comes from, Clear Out the Old Because of the New. You'll find that, I think, as we work our way through this. But let's start in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 1. You shall not make idols for yourselves, or erect an image or pillar. And you shall not set up a figured stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and observe my commandments and do them, then I will give you your rains in their season, and the land shall yield its increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last to the time of the grape harvest, and the grape harvest shall last to the time for sowing, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land securely. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will remove harmful beasts from the land, and the sword shall not go through your land. You shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. I will turn to you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and will confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat old store long kept, and you shall clear out the old to make way for the new. I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you offer to us, that you are just ready, right at the door, to give us the gifts that you have prepared. And Lord, help us explore those. Help us to understand how those work, and Lord, how you're going to do these things for the Jewish people, and Father, how these ancient verses apply to us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look at three main points, the gift of the confirmed covenant in verse 9, that's the verse that Jason read. Second point, the gifts of God for his people, verses 4 through 6, and the gift of God himself in verse 12. And again, we have to understand that these blessings, these gifts, are designed for the Jewish people. That's the main audience here. And yet, we know that these gifts and some of these covenants and promises that God has given to the Jewish people have not taken place yet. And when they do, though, when they fully take place, we're going to be there, involved in seeing God bless his own people. Now, God's blessings here are expressed before he reveals the consequences of disobedience, which are later on in the chapter. And in verse 9, it says, I will turn to you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and will confirm my covenant with you. So this is the gift of the confirmed covenant. the promise of blessing. And while there are many promises made, I believe that this probably relates to the land that God has confirmed, because the Jewish people need a place to live. And when they live in Israel, and I think pastors made this point, when they live in the promised land, that's the only time that the promised land is truly, truly fruitful, truly, truly blessed, is when his people, God's people, are living there. And so we go back to Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, where he makes a promise to a single man. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So that's not only for that time, but for on into the future. And so we see that blessing, those who bless Israel are blessed because of the promise that God has made, the promise of blessing. There's also the promise of the land in Genesis 15, 18. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring, I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. So there's a promise of a piece of land, a place for the Jews to dwell. Then in Genesis chapter 17, verses 4 through 6, there's a promise to the people themselves. Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And of course, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords came through the Jewish people, through Abraham. Abraham was a unique individual. He was the father of the first monotheistic nation on earth. The Jews are a people, but they also are a religion. According to the Jewish Virtual Library, throughout the Middle Ages and into the 20th century, most of the European world agreed that Jews constituted a distinct nation. This concept of nation does not require that a nation have either a territory nor a government, but rather it identifies as a nation any distinct group of people with a common language and a culture. And so a Jew is a Jew is a Jew wherever they are around the world. But the blessing of the land and the promises that God gives to them is particular concerning that piece of property, the promised land. So all of Judaism has an ancestor, a common ancestor, and that individual is Abraham. Now, there are other religions that claim to go back to Abraham, and they do, and they can follow it back, but Abraham had a son named Isaac, and the promise was through Isaac. And so Judaism, while it comes through Abraham, this man who was promised, who God promised and made this covenant with, it particularly comes through Isaac and Jacob. The Abrahamic blessing is fulfilled. It's fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And so we see that the Jews were chosen because they were the seed of Abraham. Isaiah 41:8 says, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. So again, we see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, sometimes we try to place the cart before the horse. And that's just a human way of thinking. That's how we think. We think that people are blessed because they did things that, you know, please God. And part of that is true. But there's also the fact that God blesses despite a person's relationship with God. And you've seen that as well as I have, that there are people who have nothing to do with the Lord, and yet God seems to bless them. Now, it's not the same blessings that we enjoy as believers, not the same promises that God gives to us as followers of Jesus Christ, but there are blessings, material blessings, that are handed down to others. But there's one nation. See, God didn't look down and evaluate all the nations of the world, and then he said, you know, yeah, those Jews, yeah, those guys, yeah, them. He didn't do that. The nation of Israel became special because God chose them. So God did the choosing first. He chose Abraham. He chose Isaac. He chose Jacob. He chose these people to work through. And in so doing, they became special. They became unique. They became like no other people on this earth. Deuteronomy tells us, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all people. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. You know, God often does things that confound us. If we were given the choice to choose Egypt, let's say, over the Jews, who would we choose? Probably Egypt, right? I mean, they were the world power, the dominating power at that time. We think differently than God does. I mean, look at all of the circumstances surrounding the birth of Jesus.